Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, March 4th. Here are two stories about Texas in the news right now that should be of interest in every state. One is that Houston has become the first U.S. city to find every COVID variant present in the local population. That was in the Houston Chronicle on Monday. We'll talk to the Chronicle's health and politics reporter, Jeremy Blackman, in just a minute. They have every COVID variant that doctors know about. The other story is that the very next day, Tuesday, Governor Greg Abbott announced that he is lifting all COVID-related restrictions on businesses and individuals.
It is now time to open Texas 100%.
So no more mask mandate, and everything can reopen at 100% capacity. So how do these fit together, this finding every variant in Houston and reopening the state? And what are the implications for the rest of the country? On the Houston story, the article quotes scientists at Houston Methodist Hospital saying they have identified 28 different variants now circulating in the city, including the UK, the Brazil, and I know you're going to cringe, what is starting to be called the New York City variant. And yesterday, according to the New York Times state-by-state COVID tracker, 274 Texans died from COVID, a 16% increase compared to 2 weeks ago. But in his Tuesday announcement, Governor Abbott said this.
COVID has not, suddenly disappeared. COVID still exists in Texas, in the United States, and across the globe. But it is clear from the recoveries, from the vaccinations, from the reduced hospitalizations, and from the safe practices that Texans are using, that state mandates are no longer needed.
Governor Greg Abbott on Tuesday. Now, that full lifting of limits takes effect next week, next Wednesday. And it's not just Texas, by the way. Also on Tuesday, Mississippi's governor announced the same total lifting of capacity limits. And in Massachusetts, a liberal state with a Republican governor, Charlie Baker, all capacity limits on restaurants are about to come off. Now, on MSNBC's Morning Joe this morning, here's how Dr. Fauci responded when asked about what Texas is about to do.
You know, my strong advice to them, Joe, would be to actually continue to implement the public health measures. Now is not the time to pull back. The good news is that we have vaccines coming online. You saw the curve of the infections per day coming down. But over the last 7 days or so, we've reached a bit of a plateau, where the deflection of the curve isn't going straight down the way it was. That's a bad sign. We've seen that before. We've seen that last summer when we were trying to so-called open up the economy and open up the country, when we said there were certain guidelines that you should adhere to. And as you know, there was variable adherence to those guidelines. And then we had that really big surge that we don't want to repeat now. I mean, we were going in the right direction. Now's the time to keep the foot on the accelerator and not pull off.
So Dr. Fauci this morning, in his usual scientific but diplomatic way, President Biden yesterday was more blunt.
The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine, take off your mask, forget it. It still matters.
So when anyone from Washington or Delaware or Brooklyn likes it or not, a new social experiment is starting in parts of this country. Full opening, with the country still averaging around 2,000 deaths a day. Yesterday it was 2,300, according to the Times. What will businesses and individuals do with no state mandates? Will we sort ourselves into COVID conservative and COVID daredevil pods? Will this increase disparities in who gets COVID even more because daredevil behavior among the better off will come back to haunt lower income neighbors? This new social experiment now begins. And with me now, Houston Chronicle health and politics reporter, Jeremy Blackman. Jeremy, thanks so much for giving us some time today. Welcome to WNYC and hello from New York.
Hello, it's great to be on. Thank you.
Can you tell us first about the Houston Methodist Hospital finding of every known variant, 28 of them, in Houston?
Yeah, this is some research that was announced earlier this week. Obviously, it's not good news. We're a huge city in Houston, and we have all of these variants. I don't really know much. There's not much to say about it, to be honest.
They've all been sampled there.
This is really getting to the speed at which the virus can now spread in places like Houston, and that's what's most concerning, especially when you compare it to what the governor ordered a day later.
And it may be true in every major city by now that every variant that we know of is present and circulating, but they did the work, I guess, at Houston Methodist to do a count based on samples they had taken, and so the report comes from your city. So the next day, Governor Abbott announced the lifting of all COVID restrictions. Why now?
Well, you heard the president talk about this being Neanderthal thinking. It's really calculated thinking. Our governor is extremely shrewd, and I mean, you have to put this in context. We're coming out of 3 weeks ago having the biggest power outage crisis in our state's history. Dozens of people died, millions were left without power. And a week before that, the whole conversation was around a conservative legislative session, and the governor was really controlling the rhetoric at that point. And people weren't talking so much about the COVID pandemic. So I think you've seen the governor really kind of lose control of the narrative here in Texas, and he needed something to kind of steer that back in his direction. And I think you saw that happen.
I've been seeing some local Texas officials, mayors of different cities, things like that, criticizing the governor on TV. So does his order mean that the local governments like Houston or Austin or wherever may not impose any limits locally? Or will there now be a patchwork of local rules based on local officials' decisions?
No, that's right. They won't have really any control anymore. There is a provision in the order taking effect next Wednesday that if our percent of hospitalizations for people with COVID-19 goes above 15% for a week or longer, that those local officials can impose some very limited restrictions. But they can't really penalize anyone if they don't wear a face mask. So it really doesn't have much teeth. But, I mean, that's really been the way that this pandemic response has worked out since last March. There really hasn't been much authority from local officials. I mean, I'm based here in Austin, and our local health entity issues guidance where we have levels where we're at, and most of those are just, it's for people to use and to understand where we're at in our outbreak, but it's really, there's no authority behind it.
It's the state making these decisions. What was that metric you gave? Because I think that would be important and interesting, because all kinds of places are trying to always figure out, well, what metric is really the best one to use to determine how much to open things and how much to close things. Like, we were going by case positivity rate in New York for a long time, and then Governor Cuomo said, well, case positivity rate is too general, and it really depends on how many people are voluntarily getting tested, so it's not the most accurate measure. So they started looking at other things. What was that metric you were giving us, 15% what?
It's a pretty unique metric, and I'm not sure other states would necessarily want to use it. The metric is basically, we have the state broken up into regions, and in each of those regions, if you take the number of hospitalized people, and then you take the number of people who are hospitalized with known COVID cases, infections, and if the percentage of those COVID patients is over 15%, that for 7 consecutive days, then that region needs to take going forward, it will be able to take some limited restrictions in place. But that has been in place since October, that there has been kind of a rollback. Restaurants need to reduce their capacity. Bars can't be open, that kind of thing. But it's really, I mean, it's not, I would say, completely welcomed in the public health community, because by the time you have 15% or more of your hospitalized patients having COVID, you normally have a pretty large outbreak, and there's a lot of community spread. And it's so I think there's been some pushback around just the fact that the hospitalizations aren't a great metric to use, because it's really catching the infection rate at the tail end when people are actually sick.
Brian in Dallas. Brian, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Brian. I'm Brian from Hell's Kitchen, but now I'm Brian from Dallas, at least temporarily. I am really struck by, as an outsider here, I'm struck by the cultural difference that I thought was political as an outsider, Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus conservative, but it's not really. There's this Texas swagger. There's this, you can't push us around. Everything's bigger here. We're going to drive the biggest trucks in the world, no matter what's happening to the fossil fuel industry attitude that is true of liberals and conservatives that I've met. And so I'm not at all surprised by the governor's decision. And I think probably in liberal places like Houston and others, the response will be different. But broadly, I think Texans are going to be thrilled to get back to doing to their normal lives and not letting this virus tell them what to do. It's really strange coming from New York, where when I was there, the attitude was exactly the opposite. We're going to do whatever we have to do to beat this virus. And here, they just want to ignore it.
Brian, thank you very much for your call. So Jeremy Blackman from the Houston Chronicle, what are the politics of full reopening in Texas? Are there certain identifiable groups for it and against it, and the governor is trying to cater to his base, or how would you break that down for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to look at the evolution of Governor Abbott's response. I mean, early on, I would say he really tried to strike a pretty politically balanced response. He issued a lockdown early. He, you know, against a lot of the wishes in his conservative base, he did issue this mask mandate in the summer, which we kind of came to learn was did not have a lot of enforcement teeth behind it. But, you know, nevertheless was at least a symbolic kind of symbolically important move that he knew would be politically fraught. But as we moved more into the fall and you saw the campaign season heat up, and then ever since the elections, the governor has taken a much more conservative approach, and all of the language that he uses to talk about the pandemic and the response is kind of rooted in reaching out to that core base that he needs. And I mean, it's also just, I think, significant to recognize that he made this announcement in Lubbock, you know, speaking at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. He goes to Lubbock whenever he wants to make an announcement that he doesn't want any questions about. The press pool here in Austin doesn't follow him there, and he knows that. So this is this is all kind of around. And the other thing to also note is just that there's a lot of talk about Governor Abbott running for the presidency in 4 years, and you've really started to see that kind of heat up in the language that he uses to talk about the Biden administration. I mean, yesterday he was on Twitter and on local television stations, you know, already setting up this dichotomy where, you know, any new infection outbreaks from the coronavirus must be tied to the Biden administration allowing Mexican immigrants to come in with who are infected with the coronavirus.
Keith in the Bronx. You're on WNYC with Jeremy Blackman from the Houston Chronicle. Hi, Keith.
How you doing? Good morning, Brian and your guest. My concern is that Texas is getting ready to host the National College Championship there, along with the NIT. Those athletes are coming across the country to go into Texas, right? And will the precautions be put in effect so then when they return back home, they don't spread anything back to us here in New York and across the country?
That's a great question and another potential implication for us all, Jeremy. I don't know if you've reported on that particular conference, but if people are coming from every state, having to do with, I guess they say high school sports, then there's the possibility of, if they're not practicing the kind of physical distancing that other states are practicing anymore, bringing stuff back home.
Absolutely. I mean, I think they're still trying to figure out all of the attendance restrictions in place for that tournament. I imagine there will be some sort of reduced capacity attendance. I did look up while we were talking the attendance for the Spurs. I haven't seen one for the Toyota Center, but for the Spurs, they are going to start allowing fans back in. I think about 3,200 fans per game. So that's a reduced capacity attendance.
Here's Clarence in Jackson, Mississippi. Mississippi announced 100% reopening right after Governor Abbott in Texas did on Tuesday. Hi, Clarence. Thanks so much for calling in. Hello from New York.
Absolutely. Just want to say, listen to your program almost every day from Massachusetts originally, but I was born in Staten Island, New York.
Glad you're still
here
with
in Mississippi.
Us. And I know you're having major water problems in Jackson still after the storm, right?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have real low water pressure here because they're afraid to increase the water pressure because all it does, it exacerbates the peanut brittle piping system that we have. But what I want to say is this. I think it's economic here in Mississippi. For every dollar that we send the federal government, we get back $7.50. So it's basically the true welfare state. And though a lot of places haven't been closed down, and then you do have the mask and no mask folks here, that they need to increase spending because people aren't spending money. This is totally a consumer-based economy. You have to spend money in order for the state to collect revenues. So I think it's an economic issue, and as your guest suggested, that this is going to be an experiment because we will have controls throughout the country. So we'll see what happens. And if there's any change, I'll probably let you know.
Clarence, thanks. Stay in touch. Xavier in Dallas, you're on WNYC. Hi, Xavier. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Thank you, and thank you for the time. Yeah, I want to talk about the two things, the mask mandate and also the winter storm that hit us. Well, just to stay on the topic of the COVID-19, I mean, for us, for my family here in Dallas, I mean, one of us works at home, one is studying and also at home. One of them works in the restaurant industry and the other one works in the hotel industry. And so for the governor to go out and open up the state of Texas, having a state mandate on masks and living in once again down to individual counties and individual restaurants to make their own rules, it's not surprising, but at the same time, it's almost like a gamble that people have to make. Not too long ago, my entire family got infected by COVID-19. Mm. And of course, it was it took us a while to get back, and resources are not that readily available compared to other places. Even then, It was just a difficult time to maneuver, and then for the governor to decide to do that. I mean, I understand the business aspect, but at the same time, you understand the people. There's people who don't have the means to just go out and wear a mask, because even then, I can walk outside. Even with the mandate in place, people were not even wearing masks. It's not, if they were, it was like just on their mouth and not covering their nose.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's almost like the little brush off that people aren't really paying attention, and then there's the other half that do. So, I mean, imagine now going to a grocery store here at my local Kroger. I'm not going to see people wearing masks, even though the store might have a rule, but they might not enforce it because that's a lot of people they have to control.
Right. So you said to our screener that your family works in the service industry. Is it too early for you to see whether businesses who you or your family members are affiliated with lifting their restrictions in ways that won't protect the workers as well?
I guess because the state has been doing it in increments, incrementals from 25 to 50, now 100. I mean, I guess it all goes down to how the person wants to continue working, because at the same time, it's almost as if it's pushing people to work so they can get off from the Texas unemployment, the unemployment commission, or the Texas employment commissioners and unemployment benefits checks. So I can see the incentive to try and open 100% and push people away. Because even then at the hotel, one of my family members was furloughed and was taken away from the full-time status and brought down to part-time. So I guess bringing this back, it's almost in pushing people to go back to work or go back to these events and go out and eat to try and restabilize the economy. But at the same time, I feel like you're also putting there's going to be a collateral against how many people are going to get reinfected. If not infected, they haven't done so.
So are you against this, or are you kind of conflicted given the jobs that you and some of your family members could go back to?
For me, I'm kind of conflicted, but at the same time, I just don't think it's too soon. And considering the fact that the whole state is just going to open up and just let the situation handle, and then considering the fact that at least in Dallas, the county judge, Judge Clay Jenkins, is at least doing a fairly good job in trying to control how to maintain the COVID crisis while trying to not get any rebuke from the state down in Austin. And I guess I can see it, but I'm against the opening up 100% because I don't think it's right.
Considering
the fact that we don't know.
Right, if it's going to be safe. Thank you so much for checking in with us. We really, really appreciate it. Call us again. So last question, building out of his question, Jeremy, is there an immunity from lawsuits provision that goes with this 100% reopening? We know that's one of the big things that Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, wanted at the national level. If businesses now are going to get to make their own choices about how much density they're going to allow while COVID is still raging, are they going to be suable, or is there also something that holds them harmless?
It's a great question. It's undecided. The legislature is currently taking up that issue, and it's one of their priorities, passing immunity for businesses that see these outbreaks. So it's not in place right now. It could be in the next couple of months.
Well, it's a big social experiment. 274 people died in Texas yesterday from COVID. So it's a life and death social experiment. We will see what happens in the coming weeks. Once Texas fully reopens, this takes effect on Wednesday. Jeremy Blackman, health and politics reporter for the Houston Chronicle. Thanks so much for spending this time with us. I know you're busy down there. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.